Look, I think the days of the handout have to end. Simple arithmetic tells us it can't go on forever. Have a listen to this. 42% of Australian families pay no net tax. They receive more back from welfare and tax concessions than they pay in tax. So almost half our so-called working families pay nothing for federal roads, police, health, defence, social welfare. Now, on top of that, we have household debt, credit cards, home loans, car loans, personal loans, $1 trillion. $1,000 billion. It's 100% of our GDP. And we don't have enough savings in the country to lend each other to cover that. So we've borrowed more than $600 billion from overseas. And those overseas lenders will want their money back at some point. So almost half our families pay no tax and we live on borrowed money. We've grown into a country somehow that expects the government to pay for the baby, pay for our first home deposit, pay for the kids, pay for so-called free health. Fair dinkum, we should be able to see enough warning signs to know that our current economic system is in turmoil. We need to work our way out of it. And I don't hear anybody in authority saying this, that we need to work our way out of it, to create things of value, build businesses, work, roll your sleeves up and work. Make stuff that's of value, do things. Produce things that other people want to buy. Now, obviously, lack of regulation in the banking system around the world has resulted in this financial meltdown. The answer? Government handouts. Oh, for God's sakes, give us a break. The music will stop at some stage, and there aren't enough seats for everyone. The Rudd government's released this $10.4 billion economic rescue package. What are we going to do? Just start another housing bubble with the $21,000 handout to any 18-year-old who wants to buy a new house? The $1,000 payment per child of families who receive the family tax benefit Part A, not subject to any asset test. So families with millions in assets will be eligible for this $1,000 per child bonus. And everybody will have their heartbreak story about why they absolutely need it. And on top of that, the government has guaranteed bank deposits and bank loans. So building societies, banks and credit unions, free to lend depositors money at whatever interest rate they want for whatever purpose. And the depositors, your money if you put it in, is now guaranteed by the government. Now, this economic turmoil is happening for a reason, and the reason is we are spending more than we earn. That has to stop. We need to get working to make things, save money, build Australia into the great nation it deserves to be. We have $1 trillion in household debt, and we have to service it. We owe more than $600 billion to foreigners. It's unprecedented. We can't continue as we are going. Now, Malcolm Fraser wasn't popular, but he put it accurately. Life wasn't meant to be easy. I don't hear anything from our current Prime Minister about us needing to knuckle down and do some hard work to lift ourselves out of the problems we're in. You can't just give money away nilly-nilly. That's what got us into the mess. It'll work for a short time, but it's like dicing up a horse in a horse race, putting the elephant juice in. The horse might bolt for a short dash. What happens after that? Crash and dies. Stephen Mayne, I know, has some views about this. What do you make of the Rudd government financial bailout or whatever that spin is that they're calling it, Stephen?
Well, I agree with much of what you said just then, Mike, that this global economic crisis is testing the balance sheet strength of nations. Yeah. The likes of Iceland are falling over. It's a pretty terrifying spectacle. We've only got $30 billion of foreign reserves, which is less than most other countries in Asia. So my approach, if I was the Prime Minister, would be to preserve the cash, strengthen the balance sheet. So to turn around and just go, bang, here's $10 billion, there goes the surplus, we're going to go back into deficit, which is what it's now looking like, I just thought was financially absolutely reckless.
It seems to me that it is an exceptionally short-term response to what is of its nature a long-term problem, and I don't hear a great deal of discussion about the long-term nature of this.
Well, I agree. I mean, we've basically had a massive credit bubble, and if you read the commentary from around the world, when people drill down as to what the issue is, it is nations spending and people and in banks, institutions spending more than they earn. So all living high on the hog in an unsustainable manner. And the US government is the biggest offender. They owe the world $10 trillion. And Australia is regarded as a very highly indebted country, a leveraged country. We borrow $60 billion a year offshore. So not only has our debt gone from $196 billion when John Howard famously had the debt truck driving around in 1996, it's now $620 billion and rising at the rate of $60 billion a year. And we've had a housing bubble, and everyone's just used the house equity as an ATM to go out and buy the plasma and have a good time and live beyond their means. And the credit crisis is basically telling the world this has got to stop. And my point of view would be the Australian government's response should be, well, cripes, we're about to have a massive drop in income because commodity prices have collapsed and the resources bubble is over. Everyone's got to tighten their belts. We've got to actually cut spending and conserve cash. And instead, they've gone on a spending spree.
I know this is an unpopular thing to talk about. It's not going to, you know, get people listening to the radio to say this. A lot of people say, don't bring it up. Just, you know, try and get behind what the government is doing. I think they are taking the wrong approach, the absolute wrong approach. And nobody seems to be saying, to work our way out of this, we're going to have to do what our grandparents did, which is knuckle down, work hard, save, spend less than we earn.
Well, look, I agree with that. And I would have thought if you were going to do a stimulus package, it should be all about productive investment.
So, like a new Snowy Mountain scheme or something like that that meant something.
Well, and another thing is that given that all the financial engineers are falling over, but the likes of the, you know, the investment bankers, that I think one of the best things that the federal government could do is to buy out all the distressed debt in a lot of those public-private partnerships. So go along to Bridge Connections and say, look, you know, you're struggling with your big debt package, your share price has plunged, it's trading at 1 cent or something. This is really should have been a government project. We need to get the job done. We'll make you an offer to take you out of this, and we'll give certainty to this project, and we'll take it forward. And because at the end of the day, the state governments in particular have been doing what everyone else has been doing, which is massively living beyond their means. And the way they do that often is they concoct these convoluted off-balance sheet structures so they can, you know, cut the ribbon at the opening ceremony and saying, look at this new road, but then they can pretend that it hasn't cost anything because it's on the never-never, it's in some infrastructure vehicle created by some fancy sharp suit. So the governments have been playing the same game as the investment banks. Everyone's been hiding the fact that we want to spend things on stuff that we just can't afford. And that game's now over. We have to be more transparent, and that includes state governments, which are, you know, Queensland's going to borrow, what, $7 billion in new money this year, and they're doing all the funny money, off-balance sheet infrastructure deals like Bridge Connections.
Yeah, look, I know it's not inspiring to talk about it, but I think it has to be spoken about. Stephen Mayne, thank you for speaking to us.
Thanks, Mike.
Stephen Mayne, you can have a look at his musings on the Mayne Report, mayne report.com.au.